Santa Aurelia LLC pays for this show. The views expressed by the hosts and guests on Inside Track are their own and may not reflect those of KVOI, but they should.
People try to put us to death.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
Hope I die before I get old. Dig what we all say. I'm not trying to cause a big sensation.
I'm
just talking about my generation.
Insiders, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Ash, along with Inside Track co-host,
Eb Wilkinson,
welcoming you to a special new puppy day edition of Inside Track. We'll get to that later on. Thanks for tuning in this lovely afternoon. Hope you enjoyed the rain yesterday. If your flowers liked it yesterday, you'll love next week with more rain in the forecast. No matter, sit back and check us out today because we have another great show for you. We welcome your calls to the show today, 790-2040. Eb and I will be chatting it up here for the next few minutes or so before we greet today's special guest, Arizona GOP Chair Dr. Kelly Ward, who will be calling in after the first break. She's in Prescott today talking to a Republican group up there. This portion of the show is brought to you by my co-host, Eb Wilkinson, and Gary Imus from Imus Wilkinson Investment Management, whose baby step approach to your wealth management is designed so you never have to solely depend on socialized security. Eb manages family wealth for one of my sisters and does a fabulous job. Call Eb at 777-1911 and let him help you also. Now, speaking of Imus Wilkinson Investment Management, hello, Eb.
Bruce, how are you?
How about the Reddit day trader group? This guy, he has a weird name.
What a great, great story.
He socked it to the Wall Street hedge fund short traders.
He did. And he did it big time. It's estimated that on that position alone, the hedge funds have lost $17 billion, and they are pissed.
Couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of guys. Now, look, I don't know anything at all about the stock market, really. The hedge fund guys, now, they didn't even own GameStop, did they?
No, in fact, quite the opposite. They sold it short.
So tell us about
GameStop is a company you typically find in the malls, strip centers, things like that, where they buy and sell video games. Most of the video games now are streamed. They come over the internet. But there's a group of people that still like to buy and sell them. Excuse me, and that's where GameStop comes in. Mm-hmm. They started losing money. They brought in a new head who was one of the guys from Chewy.com. And the stock
rose. That's the dog, Chewy.com.
That's the dog, Chewy.com. You'll learn more about that.
Not Chewy's barbecue.
No, you'll learn more about the dog, Chewy, later on.
Okay, yeah.
With your new puppy.
Yeah, that's right.
So the stock rose up, and the hedge fund said, this isn't a tenable business. We're going to short it. So they went out and they borrowed stock. And they sold it.
Borrowed stock or borrowed money?
They borrowed stock.
Okay.
And they sold it, expecting the price of the company to go down, in which case they would buy it back at a lower price and pocket the difference. So here's the example. I go out, I put an ad in the paper. I'm selling 4 Super Bowl tickets for $10,000 each. You say, great, I'll buy them. I'll say, fine, I'll get them to you in a couple of days. I have to go out and buy 4 Super Bowl tickets for less than $10,000 each.
Right.
And, you know, give them to you and I pocket the difference. Well, if I go out and I can't find any, except maybe the first Super Bowl ticket is $10,000, well, I make no money on that. And then if I can't find any other Super Bowl tickets for less than $10,000, I end up losing money on that because I have to deliver the tickets to you.
All right.
Or I face the consequences of, you know, financial consequences. Now, in the case of the short sellers, they went out and they shorted the stock. And so they sold something they don't have. So they have to borrow the stock to sell it.
You go. So what does that mean exactly, borrow the stock? Is that what an option is?
Correct. Okay. Well, no, an option is part of that, but selling short, you're selling something you don't own, and they have to do that by borrowing it from the brokerage firm.
Okay.
Okay? So they borrow the stock, but unlike regular shareholders who own something, short sellers have what's called mark-to-market, which means every day at the end of the day, they have to settle their affairs up. So if the stock rose a dollar, they have to come in with more cash or they have to buy that stock and close out the position. Okay, so that's every single day. So as the stock rises on up, they have unlimited loss. You know, they just have unlimited loss. And so as it goes on up, if they don't have the money to put in there to meet the requirements, they have to close out that position, which requires them to buy the stock, which causes it to go even higher. And so that's what's called the short squeeze that you're hearing about. And so that's essentially what happened is they got squeezed out and it's cost them billions of dollars. And people on the other side, on the Reddit side, on those boards are, you know, were the ones who were making a lot of money.
So this company, GameStop, I mean, it might have a market cap value of, I don't know, $1 billion maybe less.
Maybe less.
Yeah.
And that's what the hedge fund managers were hoping for. Now, so they basically, the hedge funds were making money the same way that George Soros made money and almost put England out of business. So George Soros made a lot of money by shorting currencies. You know, and that's what the hedge fund companies were doing. So you got these little guys, as the hedge fund companies call them, these normal people.
Yeah.
That are now making money.
And they're not.
Yeah. So they've turned the tables. They're doing to the hedge funds what Donald Trump did to, politics.
Yeah. And look, so we know that trading was stopped in some of the cases this week because they didn't want to get killed more, these guys. They got traded to get stopped, right?
So yes and no. So if you're a brokerage firm, you've got requirements, financial requirements that you have to meet. You have to have certain liquidity requirements and everything else. If I come to you and I say, Bruce, the stock has gone up. You owe us $150 million. And you don't have $150 million. You know, to put in, you've got to do one of two things. Close out your position and find money, okay? Or we end up eating it. We have to come up with the money. So the brokerage firms, when they stopped those trading things on those particular securities, it's because they were going to be put in a position where they were going to violate their liquidity requirements by the SEC. So it's not that they were doing the beck and call of the hedge funds, even though it benefited the hedge funds for doing that. It's that they didn't want to get in a position and they themselves would be put out of business. Robinhood alone had to come up with an extra $1 billion of investments from their other investors. I mean, that's a lot of money.
You think?
So when Robinhood was out there and they said, we're shutting down the buying of the securities, that's not quite what they were doing. What they were doing is they said, you can sell or you can close out your position. You know, you can't buy new securities. So what the hedge funds were doing, I mean, for every seller, you have to have a buyer. So somebody's buying. So when you go to close out your hedge fund position, you've got to buy securities, and you're buying it from the people that are selling it. So Robinhood said you can sell your security, or you can close your position, which means it gave the hedge funds a way out.
All right, so that's sort of the Wall Street kind of technical part of it.
Correct.
What's happening when you watch the news is even commentators are taking the side of the hedge fund short traders. They're not taking the side of, if you will,
the normal people.
The normal people, okay? Pete Buttigieg this week, when they talked with him at Congress during his confirmation hearing, what about, all these normal people that lost their jobs? They'd have to go out and find another job coding or whatever whatever kind of stupid.
Or building solar panels.
Building solar panels. This is the sort of thing that you get from people who are billionaires and they've completely forgotten. And that's exactly what you pointed out with Trump. That's what Donald Trump did to politics the last 4 years. He valued the little guy. He valued the working guys. And frankly, he didn't care nearly as much about all of these big fat cat guys on Wall Street.
No.
And he got Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. They want to change the laws now. The SEC, they're sticking up for their Wall Street wolves out there as well.
Yes and no. The SEC kind of has their hands tied in this because on Reddit.
Well, they want to change regulations as a result.
On Reddit. There's two things. I can buy a stock for whatever reason, but the only reason I'm really buying a stock is because I want to make money. On Reddit, if you get a bunch of guys together who say we're going to buy this and we're going to put the hedge fund guys out of business, now that's market manipulation and collusion, and good, bad, right or wrong or indifferent, the SEC has to look into that. They're put in a position that they don't have a choice.
So this guy, this Reddit trader, kind of the lead guy, was on the front page this morning of the Wall Street Journal.
Right.
And I got the impression that he probably was looking at some sort of SEC investigation.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He will be investigated.
Yeah.
But, hey, hedge fund managers, don't worry. You can always learn to make solar panels.
Yeah, hey, what the heck, All right, we're up on our first break. When we return, AZGOP Chair Dr. Kelly Ward will join us, so call in and ask Kelly any question on Arizona Republican politics. You're listening to Inside Track. I promise you, Eb and I will be right back. Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. What other kind of customers do you have?
So our biggest customers are actually like ranchers and people from outside of the Tucson area. They're buying a lot of square tubing. They're buying a lot of stuff for their ranch to close off fences.
We'll sell anything from 10 feet to 10,000 feet to somebody that comes in because we have new steel and surplus steel from steel mills. The reason we're able to get such good pricing on some of this stuff is A, we sell scrap to the mill. So we have a relationship there, and then we can buy material, what they're making, bringing it back. And so we save on freight, and we have relationships for years with them. So I think that's really our niche market. We'll sell whatever you need.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
It's termite season.
Bugs fear the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control.
Go blue at Essential Pest Control. We'll eliminate those bugs, bees, and termites. And stop paying too much to that national provider. Buy local for great service and affordable rates. Call Essential Pest Control because termites fear the blue.
Run for your life.
Call for the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control. 886-3029. That's 886-3029. Or check online at essentialpests.com.
I'm Eb Wilkinson with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. I don't ever want you to be dependent on government ever again. I want you to become financially independent. You will never, ever have to depend on socialist security for your survival. We are here to guide you to financial independence. That's imuswilkinson.com, 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Okay, from Prescott, as promised, I'm pleased that Dr. Kelly Ward, AZGOP chair, has joined us for the next several minutes. Kelly, you won your four-way contested reelect last Saturday on a second ballot vote. You had an endorsement that was pretty special, didn't you? Can you tell us about that?
Hey, Bruce, it's great to be with you. And yes, it was quite amazing and very humbling and an honor. to have the endorsement of President Donald Trump in this endeavor. And I didn't even realize until the day after when people were celebrating on the conservative side and lamenting on the left that this was the first political thing that President Trump did since leaving the White House. So he invested a lot in me personally, in Arizona as a whole, to show that we are an America First Arizona, and we're not going back to the dark days before President Trump.
Yeah, that, you know, I didn't understand that until you just said that. That is pretty amazing. And I listened to his endorsement. This wasn't some sort of, you know, kind of mealy mouth thing. I mean, this was a full throated endorsement.
Solid endorsement.
Yes. It was very, I mean, just such an honor. Really, just so amazing. It's great to sort of have a relationship with him, I guess, because he calls me. I talk to him a lot. I think he understands that I am not going to blow smoke at him. I'm going to tell him what's actually happening here on the ground. And after I won, it was the funniest part of the day, really, for me, was I hear his voice. And I look at I had my cell phone in my hand. I look at my phone. He's not on my phone. His voice was coming from my iWatch, because apparently sometimes it just answers when I didn't even answer it. And he's like, "Oh, Kelly, congratulations!" And had about a 12-minute conversation with him on my watch with a
Dick
bunch
Tracy.
Of people kind of watching the conversation. And he basically said, "This is very, very good for you. This vindicates everything that you've been doing since the election.
It does.
And now you've got a mandate to prove what happened and to make sure it never happens again."
So President Trump has vowed to help Republican success in the 22 midterms, hasn't he?
He has. I would love to have been a fly on the wall when Kevin McCarthy was down there, because I'd love to know, you know, what those discussions were. I was not privy to it. But I will tell you, Bruce, I think that 2020, the primary season is going to be hot. Not that it isn't always in Arizona, but I think there are going to be some very good candidates who might not have put themselves forward in the past because of the challenge of facing an incumbent. But I think that donors and voters have figured out that there's big change that can be made in a primary, whereas before, they just say, "I'm going to sit it out until the general, I'll vote for whichever Republican." I don't think that's going to happen in 2022.
So, you know, one of the things that I felt gave you the advantage, and certainly I was one of the early supporters of your reelect, no longer being on the RNC, I have that luxury now that I can afford myself. And what I told others, and you know, not everybody was friendly, okay? But what I told others was, Kelly, that there was nobody else that had the gravitas that you do with donors here and grassroots supporters and organizers that you do. But there's also nobody, Kelly, who has the personal relationships from the president and a whole bunch of other people around him that mean something to conservatives in this state. And I truly believe that it will be a huge help to us in this upcoming midterms and then later in the 2024 election.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I appreciate your support, Bruce, in this race for, you know, my reelect for chairman, but also just as a mentor and a friend and somebody that showed me the ropes of the Republican Party of Arizona and the RNC, because everybody out there, well, I don't know if everybody out there knows, but, you know, I've never been a darling of the RNC because I was always an outsider. I was always the challenger. I was always the one running in the primary, and that gives a lot of more establishment or traditional kind of Republicans a little bit of heartburn. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate it, and I think that we've done a great job with the RNC. I would like to see some changes there. I would like to be a source of strength for the people that might have been a little bit too weak to do the things that I think we need to do as Republicans. And I you know, I want to be able to shore them up across the country and the people that are at the top nationally.
So, Kelly, let's just kind of cut to the chase. You're a leader within a core group of America First Republicans at the RNC. And this group, and I'm no longer at the RNC, but I certainly support the America First caucus, if you will. That's what I named it 2.5 years ago, demanding that our national party fight back against the new president's overreach and also on impeachment. So tell us about the struggle with the America First core group and the Republican Party, the Republican Party, getting them to be advocates for the president and also getting them to be stronger against the new Biden administration.
Yes, we just have to, you have to give praise, public praise to the people who are doing it. And then you've got to give first private pressure to those people and then maybe some public pressure to bring them our way to that America First message and strengthen them. So, you know, it's not a quick and easy process, but when you have people who are willing to put themselves out there, who are willing to take everything from the media and ignore it and refuse to be shamed for doing what's right, teaching Republicans to stop being embarrassed about things that Republicans do, the Republican grassroots, don't be embarrassed by that. Say, well, that's what my constituents want. That's their voice. But too many of our Republicans that are in powerful positions get so squeamish, and they're embarrassed by the very electorate that puts them in office, and that creates this divide. My goal in the last 2 years and in these next 2 years is to unify this party. But that means both or all, I guess there's more than just two, but you know, all of the different segments of the Republican Party come together, come to the table, and have real conversations that will be meaningful and make the changes that we need for 2022 and for 2024.
Well, we sure see what it looks like when a party is in disarray. What happens? The president, the new president, has been really governing by executive order. Some of the most incredible orders that he has signed just in the last 10 days or so. Earlier this month on another radio show here at KVOI, Dave Schweikert is a kind of a regular caller, and David made a comment about what PCs need to do. He said that precinct committee men and women, you know, they go to legislative district meetings and they talk to and they talk with political leaders and different thought leaders and so on, but they're not talking to enough new people outside. Would you agree with David that probably is a strategy? We've got to, our legislative district meetings should be block walks, and they should be, you know, out getting new PCs, and they should be out getting new registered voters, wouldn't you say?
I think it has to include all of those things, Bruce. So you know, to be a strong precinct committeeman, you have to know the party, you have to know the rules, and you have to know the players. So having those meetings where you do talk with each other and talk to each other is great. Unfortunately, we still have a lot of Republicans that like to talk about each other as well, and not in a good way. So we've got to get that out of our party because that just sows division, and it gives fodder to the leftist media and the Democrats to attack us as a whole. So that's got to go. But yes, we've got to do actual work at these meetings or set up other meetings where we're knocking on doors or we're attending rotary meetings or community picnics or something, and not just talk to each other. We got to bring new people into the party. And that means new people that look and believe just like we do, but also new people that look and probably believe like we do, but haven't ever been reached out to by the Republican Party or by a Republican in general.
So Donald Trump probably was one of the greatest influencers on changing the look of the Republican Party the last 5 years or so. Look, you've been to plenty of MAGA rallies. I have also. They don't look like a Mitt Romney rally or a George H.W. or George W. Bush or a John McCain rally. These rallies, to me, and I was just a small kid when John F. Kennedy won the presidency, they look like a Kennedy rally in 1960 with steel workers and pipe fitters and carpenters and all kinds of people with small businesses, browns, blacks, young, old, females. I mean, you know, I think some of our greatest conservative supporters in this state that I've seen, they're females. They're passionate about the party and our future, don't you think?
Oh, yes. And you're exactly right. Donald Trump grew this party beyond all belief. That's why the Lincoln Project tries to pretend it didn't happen. That's
right.
You know, those kinds of people, Lincoln Project people, are sickening. They are a very bad part of the Republican Party, because their goal is to tear down strong conservative Republicans in order to allow our political adversaries to pile on and create narratives that are not good for us as a whole, and they certainly don't win elections. So, yes, we've got this amazing group of people who are part of the Republican Party. I'm excited because I'm the chairwoman of the AZGOP, the Republican Party of Arizona, but we've got two strong women in the two biggest counties, Shelley Keith,
yep,
down in Pima. She is a leader. She is organized. She is thoughtful, and she has experiences that are going to be wonderful to bring to the table.
Yep.
And then Mickey Nyland in Maricopa County. She's been in the trenches. She's a person that when I needed work done, she did the work. She didn't just twiddle her thumbs and expect someone else to do it. And so those two ladies really inspire me, and we're going to be a fierce team for us as Republicans, and I'm sure we're going to put fear into the hearts of Democrats.
So two things before we let you go. Redistricting is just getting ready to start up. What are your thoughts on the redistricting, and what our potential gains might be that you mm-hmm. see?
Well, redistricting is very important. We've been at the table as the party, but it is, you know, it's independent. It is not nonpartisan. Many times, you know, Governor Ducey had the most input into the makeup of that particular committee. So it's our job as Republican activists to be able to be trained, to attend those meetings around the state, and to accurately discuss with those committee members the needs of our community politically as well as otherwise. And so we at the party, you know, the AZGOP, in conjunction with the county leaders, will be educating our precinct committeemen, our state committeemen, and of course just the activists who haven't become part of the formal party yet. I think we're going to get another congressional seat. We should have 10, and we've got to make sure that the lines are drawn to reflect the Arizona electorate. In 2010, 2011, we lost, and we lost big. The Democrats took control of everything. They drew lines that were not reflective of Arizona, and that's
right.
Why we've gotten where we are right now with only 4 Republicans and 5 Democrats. Let's turn that around.
So we'll end on sort of a controversial note. Some people think that the 47-vote margin you won was narrow. Okay, but you know, I've been around for a few of these elections myself. AZGOP elections are often won by small margins, and
yep.
Yours was no different than a lot of those. Look, we all of us here in Tucson, we know Sergio Arellano. He's a good guy. We like him.
Yep.
And I understand that he stepped up and was magnanimous, you know, right after the election was over. But there has been some controversy about results from the election. And you've made the statement, and I agree with you, that an audit is not just unrealistic and counterproductive. There's nothing in the rules that allow an audit of a chairman's race. And in the time that I've been around, there hasn't ever been, and we've had elections that have been decided by 4 votes and 9 votes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
you're exactly right. And so I know it's frustrating because there's nothing that was wrong with that election. It was run by a third-party administrator through Gila County, the people that have done Gila County elections for decades.
Right.
And basically, it's kind of offensive to Gila County to accuse them of manipulation, which we have done everything in our power to make sure that that's not the case. We passed a bylaws change on Saturday that will take force after, you know, in the next meetings, in the next election. But you certainly don't you don't change the rules midstream. If 2020 taught us anything, it's what happens when you mess around with election rules before, during, and after an election. So I pledge I will work with Sergio and his team. But some of this, Bruce, sadly, they know. And I mean, Sergio said it himself. There's not going to be any change in the results of these elections. some of this is political theater by Lincoln Republican types, never Trumpers, here in our state. Koch brothers types as well, who lost a lot of power under President Trump, but want it back now that he's not in the White House. And they want to demean, delegitimize, belittle the Republican Party and me. They have no care in the world for how it affects the Republican Party here in our state or the Republican Party nationally. They have no care if we actually win elections. They just want to be, basically, they're acting like Democrats, or they're acting like, you know, some in the Demand Daniel crowds, where they're demanding something that they know they can't have. And if you don't deliver it, then they're going to bully you. They're going to threaten you. They're going to go to the left-wing media, New York Times, CNN, Bram Resnick, Yvonne Winget, and gin up a fake story about nothing. And I've seen the fallout already. You've probably noticed. If you go on Twitter, all the Democrats are rallying around right. this cry, audit the election. Democrats have no say over our elections whatsoever. We aren't rallying around their horrible choice. I mean, I think instead of attacking me, we should be exposing her.
And that's what all Republicans need to be doing. The opposition is far more dangerous than other Republicans. And some of those Republicans have figured out a way sometimes to work with the other side. And Kelly, we know that most of the people that we represent, they're people who need Republicans sticking up for us. So, hey, thanks for stopping by today, Kelly. Can we set up a date kind of on a semi-regular basis here on Inside Track through the year to report, by you to Southern Arizona on all things conservative? Can we get you to on record here to do that for us?
Yes, I would love it. I would all love right. it. And people can follow us at AZGOP on social media, except Facebook. It's at Arizona GOP. And follow me personally at Kelly Ward AZ, Kelly with an I. I care about the people. I do a daily update every weekday about what's going on across our state and sometimes at the national level. And we'd love to bring people into the fold, unite so that we are unbeatable.
You bet. Kelly Ward, thanks very much for joining us, and have a great rest of the day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bruce. Bye-bye.
All right, Tom, we're going to get to our break. When we return, we will welcome your calls at 790-2040. Eb and I are also going to review his new Corazon cabinets, which were just installed in his palatial estate located high up on the foothills earlier this week. We're going to talk about the new pup that joined our family yesterday.
The party.
Yeah, we're having a party at our house with our new pup, Spark. And we'll talk some about social credits and how Harvard College is more like Moscow University. And if we have time, we're going to get to a piece that Barney Brenner shared with me a while back from 1963, January of 1963, which will turn your hair whiter than even Barney Brenner's. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after a few messages from our spectacular friends who support this show.
It's termite season.
Hi, it's me.
And bugs fear the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control.
Go blue at Essential Pest Control. We'll eliminate those bugs, bees, and termites. And stop paying too much to that national provider. Buy local for great service and affordable rates. Call Essential Pest Control because termites fear the blue.
Run for your life.
Call for the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control, 886-3029. That's 886-3029. Or check online at essentialpest.com.
I'm proud to welcome my good friends at Tucson Iron and Metal Retail to Inside Track as an advertiser. Jamie Kipper and her staff are conservation experts. They sell round and square steel tubing, metal plate and roofing materials, as well as new and used steel, aluminum, and stainless steel to ranchers, artists, interior designers, roofers, and do-it-yourselfers, just like all of the listeners here. Tucson Iron and Metal Retail is open Monday through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to noon. Tucson Iron and Steel Retail, 701 East 36th Street. Call 520-209-1576 or go to TucsonIronRetail.com. And when you do call, mention this ad and receive an additional 10% discount on their already great prices.
Ask not
your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Wouldn't it be great if political leaders could create that country again? Learn how to do exactly that, one family at a time, with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. Call me, Eb Wilkinson. IMUSWilkinson.com. 777-1911. 777-1911.
Hey, welcome back to Inside Track. We're back and we're freestyling for the balance of our time together until 2 p.m. We have some topics to cover, but we welcome your calls at 790-2040. Talk to us about Kelly Ward's appearance with us just a few minutes ago, or whatever we're discussing, or on any topic of your choice. That's 790-2040. Before we get on to the rest, do you have a home improvement project you want to get going, but you're worried if you can afford the luxury you deserve? Corazon Cabinet sells quality J&K, Legacy, and Conestoga cabinets. Visit the crew at their new showroom located at 4700 South Park. Meet Joy, Allie, and David to see their fabulous collection and let them plan the kitchen or bath of your dreams. Call Corazon Cabinets, 488-2266, and get to work on beautifying your home in 21. Corazon Cabinets, luxury you can afford. Eb, finally...
And it's
not because Corazon Cabinets didn't have the product ready for it.
No, they had it ready. It was me. It was trying to get everything coordinated.
So you
I will tell you what, you
had a Corazon day this week. How did it go?
Dave, I talked with Dave. He said, look, I'll be out there around 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll get started, take a few hours. We'll be good to go. 8 o'clock, I'm drinking my coffee, and I hear the truck rumbling down the driveway, and here he comes. They did a great, great job. From the moment they came in, they cleaned up. The install was outstanding. No complaints. They cleaned up their mess, which very few contractors do. It was wonderful. The product looks outstanding. I ended up getting the J&K.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
which actually is... As I understand, you know, kind of the lower priced, but features in the J&K cabinets are really up there, even with the Conestoga and the Legacy brands that are also sold.
Self-closing doors,
right.
Drawers.
Right.
I will tell you, after I wrote the check and saw what I got my money's worth, and that is great. I can't say enough about it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, my wife and I are moving to a new house ourselves later this year. And
you move a lot.
No, I lived one place for 27 years, and we lived in this home. We've loved it there for the last 6 years. We got, you know, we sort of got a little bit of wanderlust a little bit, and wanted to have a project. And I didn't think that we would be... that we'd be making any sort of moves, at least for a couple of years, because I figured it would take 2 years. But we found a new home. And anyway, these guys at Corazon, they're going to be coming to our house, our new house soon, and giving us a proposal and doing a bunch of work for us. And I'm looking forward. Hey, if you call Corazon, you're going to get people who have great technology, they have great expertise, and they'll make sure your product turns out and it's perfect and it's amazing. Corazon Cabinets, 488-2244. Eb, I sent you a picture of our new pup today, Spark.
What a gorgeous, gorgeous puppy.
Thank you. She is an 11-week-old liver and white English Springer Spaniel. She's related to our 6-year-old Springer, Sammy. That's Sammy as Samantha. They're smelling each other's rears and ears. And we only had one eruption where I thought the puppy wasn't going to get to 12 weeks.
Oh, well.
But we got them apart. That little dog is constantly gnawing and stuff. I am bonding with her. She sleeps not with us in our bedroom, but she sleeps in a crate. We're crate training her.
Okay.
And she's in my office, and my wife has given me, you know, the education, what I need to do. And this is going to be my dog. I've never had my dog before.
And now you do.
Now I'm going to have my dog. I'm bonding I'm bonding with little Spark.
At least Jane's going to let you think that.
Well, yeah, she'll be around doing stuff when I'm not. And I don't know if you've ever had Springer Spaniels.
I have not. I've had
they're great.
German Shepherds.
They're and German Shepherds are great too. When we were kids, we had, but these are Velcro dogs. And Sammy, our older dog, came to us as an 18-month-old, and she slept with us from the first night on. That's not a mistake we'll be making with this dog. She'll have her own crate. There's only room for one dog
exactly.
in this bed going. And she's a very inquisitive pup. She has her little sort of house, you know, kind of like a little fence around her
sure.
where she can pee on the floor and do all kinds
of
stuff.
Big deal.
No big deal. And she's having a great time and looking forward to all.
Now, that's not one you can just go down to the pet store and get. That's not what you did.
No. This dog flew in yesterday with a handler from Connecticut. And
how was that?
Actually, besides the fact that his plane was 5.5 hours late, everything else about it was great.
Now, was your pup on the airplane
with him?
With him. Okay.
Yeah, they don't let dogs in the hold anymore.
Did not know that.
No, and when Sammy came, she actually traveled by herself from Connecticut to San Diego, and we picked her up in baggage. You know, with the other luggage and stuff, but this is a whole different deal today. And anyway, enough about that. Feel free to call in, talk to producer Tom, so you can agree or complain about anything we're talking about this afternoon. Okay, the cancel culture. We've talked about it more, but it's even more alive in the new age of Biden and big tech and their allies in the educational institutions, especially. The latest case of cancel culture involves GOP Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. She was, when she was first elected, the youngest ever elected to the U.S. House. She was in her early 20s.
Wow.
And I want to read portions of a opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal by Bill McGurn recently. Elise Stefanik grew up in a working-class family in upstate New York, where her father and mother ran a small plywood distribution business. After getting accepted to Harvard, she became not only the first Ivy Leaguer in her family, but also the first to graduate from college. And I identify that because I was the first one anywhere in my family to graduate from college. She said, "I'll never forget what my dad told me. He said, 'Elise, I can't tell you what to expect or what's going to happen because I never had this experience. We will all be proud of you. All I ask is that you remember where you came from.'" Now, he was right, according to Bill McGurn. His daughter would make him proud. 2 days before she graduated from Harvard in 2006, she received a job offer, a good job offer, from the George W. Bush White House. In 2014, she ran for Congress and won in New York's 21st District. At the time, she was 30, the youngest woman ever elected to Congress. But now she's not good enough for her college, Harvard. On January 12th, something called the Institute of Politics at Harvard's Kennedy School booted her off of their senior advisory committee.
Wow.
Dean Doug Emmeldorf said, "In my assessment, Elise has made public assertions about voter fraud in November's election that have no basis in evidence, and she has made public statements about court actions related to the election that are incorrect." Now, this came days after a petition had demanded her removal for enabling violence at the Capitol, which is extraordinarily false. It's also an extraordinary sanction from an institution dedicated to free and open inquiry, demanding Harvard take a stand for representative democracy and against violence, white supremacy, by stripping Elise Stefanik. One of her Kennedy School alumni friends Representative Dan Crenshaw, the class of 2017, Ted Cruz, 1995, and Kayleigh McEnany in 2016, they've also had their positions stripped as well. Ms. Stefanik has not used any language about rigged or stolen elections, though she has spoken about voting irregularities. This is Bill McGurran speaking. It's been the context of constitutional issues, such as the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's overriding powers reserved for state legislature to extend the voting deadline. And this is what Kelly was talking right. about just a little while ago. Ms. Stefanik decried the violence as un-American. This is Elise Stefanik saying that, not Harvard. Un-American, and demanded those responsible be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But she defended her objection to certifying electors, saying, quote, it reflected the concerns of tens of millions of Americans that they had about the unconstitutional overreach by unelected state officials and judges ignoring state election laws. We can and we should peacefully and respectfully discuss these concerns. Now, as a private institution, Harvard has the right to decide who serves on its advisory committees. Shouldn't an institution, Eb, whose motto is Veritas, to at least have the decency to back up accusations with specific by listing specific offenses? Harvard's truth squads target only Republicans. Representative Adam Schiff, for example, is a graduate of Harvard Law. As the top Democrat member of the House Intelligence Committee, Mr. Schiff falsely insisted for years that he had more than circumstantial evidence of Donald Trump's collusion
and
with
never
China.
Provided anything. Hey, That's we right. have two callers.
All right.
Bruce is on the line. Bruce?
Go ahead, Bruce.
Well, hi. God, I hate to break up that conversation. It was great.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk about judges. In with respect to the Keystone Pipeline being interfered right now,
yep.
Couldn't judges rule that that is a infraction of the Interstate Commerce Clause back in 1887, where commodities like either water, power, or oil should not be impeded going across interstate lines?
You may be right. That's a good point.
Yeah. It was constructed back then because railroads were restricting and being monopolizing toward consumers in different states.
And they still are. And the guy who has made the biggest stink about Keystone is none other than Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway owns the Union Pacific Railroad, or the Northern Pacific Railroad, who do most of the oil transportation in this country. This pipeline was a huge blow to their business. So that issue still very much alive with railroads trying to run the world.
Well, yeah, a railroad shipping coal to the Pacific coast to go to China, as I recall.
That's right.
Yes.
But yeah. It also extends to pipelines, to water, to power, and to commerce squirted through pipes.
Yeah.
I wonder if this could go to the Supreme Court.
Well, this one probably will, and if it means that we don't have enough good energy supplied here in this country, I think it should. This is more of the new green John Kerry, manifesto back in the Paris Accords and everything else.
The green new squeal.
Yeah, the green new squeal. And that's something that we knew was coming if this guy was elected, and it took him all of one day to do that. And in the process, we talked about this last week, in one day, including Keystone and also the building of the wall, 100,000 jobs directly and indirectly impacted for hundreds of thousands of others as well.
Yes. Back in the day when I was going to college, there were a lot of nuclear engineers that were training for the nuclear industry.
Yep.
This is the late 70s. And that went away.
It's amazing to me, and we just take a second. There's another call here waiting. We only got about 4 minutes left to go on the show. But it's amazing to me that with all the talk about green energy, probably the best natural source other than sunshine, which is great, for power is nuclear power. It's clean, it's safe, and it is cheap. And these guys want to shut down every reactor in the world so they can get their industry, solar and wind and all this other business, for themselves. Again, more monopolization of the economy.
Hey, we got to take Mark. We're running out of time.
Hey, okay. Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for calling. Keep calling in.
Yeah, Mark, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Great show.
You bet.
And two things I want to mention is my grief and condolences over the loss of Michael Hicks. That was a great loss.
He was a good man. Very, very good man.
I've worked with him to try and make corrections with PSD over quite a few years. But anyway, so yeah, we're going to miss him. And so also what Kelly Ward was talking about, we need to have a united confrontation against our new current domestic enemy. Not the people of the conservatives, but the leftist National Socialist American Workers Party people.
That's right. That's right.
And we need to, you know, be inclusive and not, you know, kick out people who are, you know, not strong enough, whatever, not conservative enough. We need to also bring in the people who really are more aligned with conservatives than they think. And that would be maybe the libertarian types that are, you know, actually more aligned with us than they are with the cancel culture enemies.
We certainly need to enlarge the size of our tent and to be more inclusive to people who do believe in the America First agenda. We need to look. I think that what happened last week at the meeting, the AZGOP state convention, and this wasn't Kelly's idea; it was Russell Pierce's idea. The censuring of Cindy McCain, Jeff Flake, and Doug Ducey, it might have made some people feel good. It did nothing. It was not a force multiplier for the Republican Party, and it only sought to alienate where we're at with our elected leadership in this state. And I've seen enough over my years. I don't want to sound like an old man. I am sort of edging into being an old man, but I see what happened in 2010 when Randy Pullen, the then state party chair, worked very closely with Governor Jan Brewer. While all kinds of problems existed around the country in legislative elections, we obtained veto-proof majorities in both sides of the legislature and carried on great conservative programs for years. And this is what we need to be doing again, and that's how we win elections.
And also the people who would refuse to vote for Martha McSally for reasons, yep, I think were not reasonable.
They're incalculable. And you can't even imagine why they did that. Just, it's unbelievable.
The damage that is done to the state and the country and because of it is just uncalculable.
Well, thanks very much for calling in, Mark. We got to wrap it up and
keep listening.
Yeah, thanks very much. Hey, Eb, this has like gone crazy fast, and maybe
it has.
Maybe we're talking too slow, or maybe we need more time.
We need more time.
Yeah. Well, I got to talk to the station folks about that. I don't want to upset anybody, but I think we do need more time, and we've talked about that for a long, long while now. So anyway, hey, thanks for joining us today. We're already lining up guests for next week to talk about our new president. Hopefully we'll have on our old friend George Bardmesser, who's inside tracks, as well as American greatness expert Bidenologist. And if we can also maybe get Arizona Representative Shanna Bollock, who wants to talk about updating some of our voting laws, that'd be terrific. We'll talk about redistricting and whatever else is going on. Jamie Kipper and her father, Gary Kipper, from Tucson Iron and Metal. What are they going to see when they come through the gates?
So when they come on in, they'll see our building up front. People have free rein to then go out and look in the yard.
So it's not a typical scrapyard with a ton of big machinery. We have a couple of forklifts around, but that's about it, just to help move material. So when you come in, it's all organized by material, whether it's square tubing, angle iron, roofing, and then there is a pile in the back, which is still organized and easy to get through, but that's stuff that comes over from the scrap. So we're unique in that we get stuff in from the scrap, which a lot of artists and people will like or reuse, whether it's a sink that someone needs for their house. We sell literally anything made of metal.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579.